Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to a special episode of Super Podcast. And what makes it special is that I have a published author on the show. So, round of applause for me for being so cool. Yay! Okay, so the author in question is a previous guest on the podcast, but when he was a previous guest, he wasn't actually a published author then, but he is now, so it's really special and cool. So please welcome Mike Catalano to the show.
Hi,
Hello.
Mar. Hi, Marcy.
I hope
Thanks for
that
having
was
me
a good
back.
introduction.
That was a great introduction. I got goosebumps.
Oh, very cool. So how are you today or
I'm
tonight?
doing very well. Well, it's evening here, but good enough. I'm
Yeah.
fine, thank you. Good stuff.
Very cool. So we'll get straight into it. I'm
Oh,
going to
boy.
talk about your new book, which has just, I think it's just become available on paperback.
Yes, that is true.
And it's been out for a little while on Kindle edition.
Correct again.
Yes. I do believe I was the first person to purchase it via
You
Kindle.
were, Marcy. I and you're also the first time. I mean, I don't know if we interviewed on it a lot, but you're the first, regardless. You have the
Yay.
title.
See, I'm the first with
Two
everything.
firsts. You popped two of my cherries.
Yep. See, that's what makes me so awesome.
Agreed. Definitely.
Okay, so we'll start off. Tell us what it's called first.
Sure. It's called Dropping Fear, and it's a horror novel, but there's other elements mixed in, but I would definitely categorize it under the main genre title of horror.
Yeah, well, knowing you, I couldn't imagine that you'd, have your first book as being anything but horror
You know me
related.
well.
Okay, so if you don't mind, I'll try to do my best to read it out. I'll read out the synopsis, which is on
Okay.
Amazon, which I found on Amazon.
Oh.
So this will let the listeners know exactly what it's about.
Awesome.
So hopefully I can read this without messing up.
I think
Okay.
you're a great reader.
Okay, on a dark night 25 years ago, masked maniac Derek Haddonfear, what a cool name, went on a bloody rampage. Today, Derek's son Will is happily married, but still struggles to distance himself from the harsh memory of his father. He and his wife Carrie have been trying to get pregnant for years with zero success. Infertility begins to take its toll on their marriage. Carrie can't live without becoming a mother, and Will can't live seeing his wife so distraught. Upon coming into contact with a doctor working on an experimental fertility drug, a desperate Will and Carrie decide to give him a shot. What results from the procedure sends Carrie on an uncontrollably violent path that is all too familiar to Will. Is it her hormones? Is it the drug? Or is Will's chilling past coming back to haunt him in the most bizarre of fashions? Regardless, no one will be prepared for the birth of the newest and most unexpected psychotic slasher in the history of horror. Well, that sounds pretty frickin' epic.
What was epic is you reading it because, again, it's got to be the accent. I don't know, but it was perfect. I want to say it was perfect. I want to say it like
Perfect.
you. I want your accent.
Well, I
It,
can't give it
I'm
to
not blowing smoke. That was awesome,
you.
Mars.
Well, I'm glad you
Really,
enjoyed it.
I could probably. I wish I was recording that so I can just keep playing it over and over. But
I'll send you a sound copy of just
thank you.
that. That was
I'm very.
a dramatic reading of the synopsis.
It was outstanding.
Yay. So I have to ask, what was like your inspiration for the story?
Well, actually, the missus and I did go through a period of just not being able to get pregnant, and my wife is someone she is super super sweet, and one of those people that really was born to be a mother, and I don't know, maybe sometimes if you think about that too much, or sometimes people don't get to be what they're meant to be, and I don't know, it just felt like that, and it was really trying on us, and that was a horror story in itself, just because it was really painful. But happy ending for that, thankfully. It did eventually happen, and through the experience of not being pregnant to finally getting it, to learning, you know, what exactly goes into it, how the woman changes, how her body changes. All that kind of just sparked, I guess, an idea in my head about what it would be like if... I love the slasher idea to begin with, just slasher movies in general, that subgenre. And I said, you know, what if a woman was pregnant and, you know, it's a huge influx of hormones? What if that made her do just the most bizarre types of things if there was a certain way? And that's like, that was just me shooting ideas around in my head, but that's how the initial concept, I guess, of it got born. And then I just, you know, played with it from there, and Dropping Fear is what came from it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do know some people that have had, you know, similar issues, and I know how terrible it can be.
Right.
But, you know, in your case, happy ending.
Oh, a billion times over. It's like, you know, she's meant, it, you know what, but the best things really do come to those who wait. Not to get off the topic of the book, but well, you've heard me speak about my son. He's just the greatest thing in the world. And again, the missus was born to be, you know, a mother. She's, you know, she's perfect. And the only reason I'm a great dad is because I learned how to parent from her. So yes, the best things do come to wait. And we understand that now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could actually write a book from it too. So maybe that was another reason things happened. I don't know, Mars.
Well, we'll get back to the book. So how long did it take for you to, you know, from start to finish with writing the book?
I think it did take probably about a year, I think. And I say that because, you know, since I was never published, you know, writing novels was not my main job. It still isn't. So I still have to contend with a job during the day and finding time, you know, either at lunch or when I got home. Or if lunch, or excuse me, or if work was a little boring, you know, I'd always have the manuscript on my screen somewhere so no boss could see it. And if I got an idea, I'd of course want to just type it. But, you know, total, it was about a year to get, you know, the initial draft down.
Okay. That probably sounds about right with, you know, writing something that long anyway.
Yeah, it is the longest book I've ever done. I mean, I've written a couple of previous books before, but I just felt really strongly about this one. It's my latest one. You know, as you keep doing things, the more you do it, maybe the more you learn from it, the better you get at it.
So yeah.
This one, and of course, you know, having a special personal, you know, connection to it in a way, in a small way, it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, but I guess it's like the more you do something, the better you get at it, so...
So, I mean, I don't know if I'm a great writer or anything, believe me. I probably would say no, but that would be dumb because I want people to enjoy it. But I mean, I'm not a huge reader. I do love to write. I love fun ideas, but I don't like telling stories that takes advantage of the reader or treats the reader like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to sit down and read something, better damn well be entertaining and, you know, in not some stupid way. Like, if you're going to chop some guy's head off, there'd be a damn good reason for it. I love the gore, of course. Horror is the best. You know that. You love it, too.
Yes.
But, you know, if someone else wants to just show someone or tell a story about someone whose head gets chopped off or, you know, dismembered in any way, and that's it, leave it at that, that's fine. That could be cool. I don't mind that. Mm. I guess just for me, I feel I'd be cheating, the reader out of something if things didn't connect, if stuff didn't happen for a reason, if sufficient evidence wasn't given for the transpiration of certain events.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
Yeah. Well,
sorry to cut you off.
Keep going.
Some people say to me, like, oh, I'm not a reader. I'm like, yeah, well, this is the book you might want to read then. This is the book for the non-reader for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big reader and I read fast when I do read, like...
Okay.
Back in high school, I was reading, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 novels in a week.
Wow.
Don't ask me how I managed to do that on top of all my schoolwork, but, yeah. So I'm a pretty strong reader, so I'm hoping, because I haven't really had much of a chance to read through the book, I'm hoping, hopefully in the next week, that I'll be able to read it.
But, and if you don't like it, just let me know. I understand.
I'm going to totally leave you a review on Amazon, and then you'll know exactly how I feel about it.
Thank you.
Well, I have read the prologue twice, which is really cool.
I like hearing that.
It's a good opening to the book. It will definitely get people interested.
Nice.
And
I'm glad you said that, Mars, because that's another thing.
Well, it's important if you can't hook in someone in the first few pages, well.
Exactly. Just start off with a bang. You owe it to the reader. If they're going to start, say, all right, you know, like, if they're going to buckle their seatbelts, you know, we're going to go from 0 to 60 in, like, you know, 5 seconds. I'm getting real metaphorical here. Sorry about that. I'm just...
It's all good.
Okay, if someone's going to look at something that I wrote, I want you to, you know, hop on and say, yeah, let's go. And hopefully not stop for much.
Well, you must have impressed somebody, considering you got a publisher.
Yeah, that's a good point. Living Dead Press, should I say that?
Tell us how it all came about for you. Like, okay. I think anybody who's listening, if they are interested in getting published, you might be able to give us some ideas of how it goes and some tips, maybe.
That's awesome, Mars. That's a really good question. yeah, that was a great question. And, no one's going to, like, bullshit. Can I curse?
You may.
No one's going to bullshit you, thank you, about in terms of getting something, like, published or finding an agent and stuff like that. It is not easy at all. It takes a while. Usually, you know, not all the time, but usually. For me, it took a while. I mean, at least 10 years. No agents really wanted anything. Publishers also. I was told if you want to get published, you definitely need an agent. I can tell you now that's not necessarily true because I don't have an agent. A lot of query letters, a shitload of rejections, but I guess not getting discouraged. It helps having an awesome wife, you know, who will still tell you that you're good, even though you might be thinking, you know, you're a piece of shit. So that always helps. I'd get down for a little bit if there was like a rejection that I thought might be something good, but, you know, after a couple of days, bounce back, and thank God I did because it did pay off. And I guess I should say it does pay off. People say, you know, don't ever give up on it. Well, I'll say that, but I don't know. I don't give up on it. And if I can help in any way, email me. If any of the listeners want to try this or have a question, not that I'm the aficionado in any way, but I don't want to just say don't give up and just leave it at that. Because don't give up. Because you're well, getting it. But I always said if I was ever lucky enough to have this happen, I would never take it for granted. And I would, if someone else was ever in the situation that I was in previously, I would do anything, you know, within reason, within my whatever power to help or advise in any way. So you can definitely, I'll give my email to anyone if there's anyone that wants a question or say anything. That's for sure. I know I'm getting off topic. So, all right, 10 years. 10 years passes. The real story now, finally. I read a horror book review on a horror website, and they listed the publisher, and I figured, okay, I'll look up the publisher, because obviously they like horror novels. And I found them. I saw they were accepting query letters and, like, the first 3 chapters of your book. So I sent it to them. They replied, I think, a couple days later saying that, you know, they liked it, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what they were particularly looking for right now. You know, that's like a standard rejection. I'm thinking to myself, it's like, oh, you know, they're being nice. They said they liked it, but it's not what we want. And then, you know, I could probably write you 100 different versions of a rejection letter because I've heard so many. But this one had an extra thing at the end. They mentioned a man named Anthony Gregario, who had just started up a horror publishing site, who was looking for, I guess, horror novels that sort of had the blood and guts, I guess, that they saw within the first 3 chapters. So they said, you know, give him a shout out. So I did. I emailed him first to see if he would accept, you know, a query letter or some chapters. And here's where the story's kind of funny. He emailed me back pretty fast saying, don't I remember speaking with you previously? And he was right, because I do reviews for Arrow in the Head. I'm sure, I know you know that. And maybe some other people do, but arrowinthehead.com, awesome horror website. I still work for it, and I hope to still do that for a long time. I was writing articles for them, I guess, over a year ago now, and I had written an article on one of this man, Anthony Gregario's horror novels. And he actually contacted me saying that he liked the article and said, oh, can I emailed him back saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to get a horror book published. Can we talk? And so we did. And long story short, he knew me. And that was why. And I didn't even realize that. Yeah. I just sent him, you know, like, here's a new publisher. Okay, I'll send it. And the funny part is, when I spoke to him over a year ago, he did not have the horror publishing company yet. He didn't have his company wasn't started. So it's fairly new. He started, I guess, maybe a couple months after we spoke. Mm-hmm. So long story short, he remembered me, said, send me the stuff. I know it's going to be good. I don't know why I said that, but I did send it to him. He did like it. He thinks it's good. And I guess here we are. Now I get to talk to you about it.
Yeah. Well, that kind of worked out pretty well.
It really did. It was like, you know, I never would have expected if it was ever going to happen for it to happen that way. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess thank you guys to writing articles on the website.
Exactly.
Well, when you were still doing that.
Of course. I'm still doing reviews. I can't let go. Because
it's now so you're great. At the DVD pub.
I'm on the DVD pub, which, and I get to do movie reviews, which is freaking awesome.
Which I last podcast, I called it the DVD clinic by mistake, and I got told off.
Well, I wouldn't tell you off, because DVD clinic is what Joe Blow does.
Yeah, but that's for the actual... Well, yeah, but the arrow in the head one is the DVD pub.
Yes, we're the pubbers.
So I'm sure that Pat will be happy that I got it right this time.
I think Pat would be very... Pat's a great guy too, by the way.
So no mistakes. I think I was a little bit out of it last.
I would never correct you, by the way. So whatever mistake off the chair.
You know, no matter what I say, it's correct. We'll just
it's all good.
Go by that logic.
I like that logic. I like your
So, I mean, that's you know, I guess it's a long journey from, you know, starting out and then actually getting published.
Yes.
And you recently got an actual copy of the book, did you not?
Yes, I did.
And what was that like?
It was pretty crazy. It was something, again, something I never thought I would see. And it wasn't even my copy yet. A very nice friend at work named Tracy ordered it, I guess the day it came out, and it got shipped to her very quickly, and she just brought it over to me. She's like, I got your book, here it is, look. And I was just like, whoa. The first thing I said was, hey, it actually looks like a real book. Which, yeah, and of course, you know, everyone wants to be a dumbass, it is a real
book. Well, it is a real book.
Yeah, I guess I'm not used to it, I still can't believe it, but I'm kind of a glasses empty guy to begin with. It's just... never expected it, so yeah, I'm glad. I mean, if I was just at home, like, I could have teared up if I'm just there. But it was incredible.
It's a lot of hard work paying off, basically.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. I was just so pleased.
Well, it's cool, and I was very excited to hear about it, obviously, because I went and like bought it straight away.
You're just an amazing friend, and you know, to do something like that, even though, you know, it could suck. But
I'll take a chance. I
so wanted to work for you.
Well, you know, reading your stuff for so long, you know, being at articles or reviews, I think I have a pretty good idea of your style. So I think I will enjoy it.
I think you may
not. I'm pretty sure I will enjoy it.
I mean, I'll be confident about that. I know you, Mars, and I hope you. I think you'll like it. I know you'll like it.
I will like it. You can hypnotize me into liking it.
Yeah, that's what I gotta do.
Well, so for the listeners, you can just pretty much go on Amazon.com and look up Dropping Fear. You can go get it from the Kindle store if you've got a Kindle or the Kindle application, as I've got Kindle for iPad, so it's on my iPad. Or you can get the paperback copy. So I'll have a link. Oh, I have several links up on the podcast article for anybody who wants to check it out. And I, well, you know, having only really read the prologue, I would still highly recommend doing so. Support the horror community.
Well said.
Yes.
This horror community right here doesn't want to blow smoke up your ass. Well, I really hope I want to give something that is just going to be something you like. Something that you'll enjoy. And, you know, it won't just... I hope it has you know what I'm freaking talking about. Just, you know, fuck it. You want to see? You want to read it? Come get it.
Yeah. Come get some. Go get some.
I mean, the cover looks... Can I say who did the artwork for the cover?
My friend,
who's an outstanding artist. His name's Jason Bailey. Lucky enough to become friends with him where my day job is. And I really love the cover. I hope it... Even if people just want to go check it out to see how cool the cover looks like, I again, couldn't be more pleased with how that turned out. I'm very lucky to have a friend like who's so talented.
Yeah, it's very cool. And one thing about books is people do judge them by the cover. And if you've got a shit cover, well, not much luck there. But this is a pretty cool and mysterious kind of cover. It is very appealing.
Thank you, Mars.
And well done to your friend who did it.
Thank you. I'll say thank you on his behalf.
Yeah, well, you can send it to him and he can listen to you say nice things about him. Well, that concludes our little interview about your book. And in, you know, super podcast fashion, we have to have some film talk. So,
hell yeah.
You came up with the idea of talking about somebody who I think has been pretty much hated for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie is coming out, I think, over there tomorrow, which he produced and wrote the story for, I believe.
I believe so, too.
I think that's what it is. That man would be, I'm so not going to pronounce it properly, I don't think I ever have, M. Night Shyamalan.
That sounds right.
Shyamalan.
Should we say from the mind of...
Yes, from the minds of M. Night Shyamalan. So the film that is coming out is called Devil. And this one, it's about, I think, it's a group of people that are trapped in an elevator. Mm-hmm. And apparently the devil is one of them.
It's a killer concept right there.
Yeah, well, I don't like elevators and I'd hate to be trapped in one. And I'd especially hate to be trapped where the devil is. So,
that would have to suck.
I mean, the trailer for it didn't look too bad.
I thought the trailer was pretty damn good, actually.
Did
you hear about the reactions, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, trailer? When people saw his name, they just got really pissed off. But it's like, you know, maybe the guy can write or come up with a good story. Maybe he shouldn't be directing. Or
exactly.
Maybe he should direct stuff that he hasn't come up with or... You know, like his movies apparently are just getting worse and worse and worse that he's directed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this one he's not directing, so...
Right,
you know,
and he didn't do the screenplay.
He didn't actually do the screenplay. It's a story that he came up with, and I'll give him this. He does come up with some interesting ideas.
Exactly, I agree. Even the shitty movies, you know, the concepts are pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, I think this will just show, you know, maybe... The man should be coming up with stories and not directing.
Correct. It looks like this might be the route he's going on. Because I think The Night Chronicles is, I guess, the name of the production company or whatever it's called.
Mm.
And he's got another one coming out, too. And they might be doing another one after that. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the route he's going to go now.
Yeah. I haven't really seen any reviews as of yet. I don't think it was screened
you are
for
correct,
critics
Marsh.
Or anything, which can be worrisome, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing.
Especially for the horror genre.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty normal anyway.
Mm-hmm. I believe John Fallon and Arrow on the Head will be seeing it tomorrow. So I guess his review will be up shortly after that.
Yeah, and, well, pretty much usually agree with what he says.
You know what? So do I. Even on Halloween, too.
I fucking hate Halloween 2.
Sorry, Mars. I'm sorry.
I'm
Did
sorry.
You see the director's cut
love
yet?
It. I watched the director's cut. Oh
hated
my god!
It.
Seriously, I hated it. Like I said on that show where we discussed it, I seriously felt like Rob Zombie just took a shit on me.
Oh god.
That's just how I felt about that movie. But you know.
Yeah, I can see.
I know. You're not the only one that likes it. Quite a lot of people have said they do actually like it. But you know, I loved the first one, so.
I can totally see why you felt you were, you know, you got a hot, you know, a Cleveland Steamer. I can totally see why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I totally respect that, too.
Yeah. But
yeah.
We'll go back on the subject of
sorry, my bad,
Mr.
Yeah.
Shyamalan. I was going to ask, if we look at his films as a director, starting with The Sixth Sense, we can mention if we've, well, seen the movie, first of all, and if we liked it or not. So, well, I think everybody's seen The Sixth Sense.
Everyone.
Which I do still really like, even though I haven't seen it for a few years, but I've seen it enough times to still really like it.
Me too. I love everything about that flick.
Yeah, and I always like to brag about this, but when I first saw it, I totally knew what the twist was. Like,
did you really?
I think it was 5 or 10 minutes before it happened. It just kind of occurred to me.
What made it occur?
I can't even remember. I remember sitting there thinking, oh my God, I think he's, and then sure enough, he was. I'm like, oh.
Called that one.
Totally.
Nice, you're in the minority.
Yeah, well, until Bruce Willis went on TV and, like, spoiled the ending.
Did he do that?
Yeah, he did. I can't remember what he was on. It might have been Letterman or something.
Holy shit.
Promoting the movie, and I think he accidentally let slip the ending.
Oh, my God. How could you do that?
Yeah, I know.
That is the main reason that movie is huge.
Yeah. I mean, he pretty much became known for the twist ending, but that's all he kept doing, so.
You mean, I know.
M. Night Shyamalan.
That's exactly. How will it end? From July.
Well, after that came Unbreakable, which I completely just love that movie.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
I think it's just brilliant. Brilliant movie.
Yeah. I still remember sitting in the theater and watching it. It was the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Mrs. and I. Well, she wasn't the Mrs. yet, but we went to the theater.
I think it came out the same time here.
Cool.
Yeah, November. Something we got on time. I remember seeing it and just the opening scene with the train.
Yes.
I remember I think my dad and I looked at each other and went, whoa, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, even the scene before that, it like gripped me when Mr. Glass is born.
Mm.
And the doctor's like, did you drop this baby?
Yeah.
And the lady, like, Jesus Christ, no.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, I see it so many times, I memorize it just like, his arms and legs are broken. It's like, yeah. Whoa, that's heavy.
It's all just like, yeah, it's all really just full on. But that sort of twist ending, I didn't really see coming at all.
I didn't see it coming, and I loved it. I loved everything about it. I didn't know, like, the cool thing about it, seeing it, like, as soon as it comes out, I didn't even know it was supposed to be a superhero movie. Is this a spoiler that I'm saying this?
No, I mean, you know, pretty much, like, when you get into it, you realize it's like kind of as if it was Superman if you didn't know. He was Superman. I can't remember who described that to me with the movie. I can't remember who said it, but it's so true.
Yeah, it really is. And that's just an awesome idea. And for, like, back then, an M. Night awesome idea that he actually, you know, stretched into an awesome movie.
Yeah, I think the pairing of him with Bruce Willis was also something that worked really well.
No, the pairing of M. Night and Bruce or Sam Jackson and Bruce?
No, I mean like M. Night and Bruce for those two movies.
They work well together.
But, you know, Bruce and Samuel are pretty good too.
Yeah. I thought he was just awesome. Even better in that than Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I think so too. Definitely just one of the best things that he's done. One of his best roles.
It really is.
And one of the best roles that Samuel L. Jackson has done as well.
I agree.
I mean, this was so against type for him.
I know. I'm riveted every time I watch it. It's like, I watched the ending scene on YouTube the other night just because.
Just because you can.
Because I can. I was like, yeah. I mean, of course I got it on DVD, but.
Yeah, well, that's why. Yeah. I mean, The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable are the only two M. Night Shyamalan movies I have on DVD.
Yeah, I have Signs, and the missus really likes The Village, so we got that too.
Yeah, well, moving on with Signs. I mean, Signs was something I was really excited to see because. I completely, like, I'm into alien stuff.
Oh, cool.
Even though it completely freaks me out. But,
nice.
I mean, I was so into this movie up until the end, and I thought, this is just retarded. Like, when I was at the cinemas watching it, and again, I went and saw it with my dad. I've seen all these movies with my dad. Because, you know, back at that time, that was, you know, the thing that I did with my dad was we went to the movies.
Right.
Because, you know, being... You know, were they in my mid late teens at that time?
Right.
That was the thing we did to hang out because I was growing up, and it's not like I want to hang out with my parents all the time.
Exactly.
So anyway, you know, we went and saw it, and I'm sitting there, and the suspense when like the aliens are coming, and I just completely shit myself.
It was really
like
hot.
The scene.
Yes.
I think he was in like the cupboard or something, and the alien was outside, and
Yep.
he had the
Oh, with the
knife and
knife.
everything, and I was just like freaking out. Or
That is
I
good tense
think,
scene. He knew tense right there,
oh my
man.
gosh. Or even the scene, I think it was like someone was filming a party and one of the aliens walked by, and
Yes.
that just
That's when
shattered
you
me.
know.
Especially at
No, it
that
doesn't.
time, I was so scared of aliens, I don't know why.
Yeah,
Was scary.
that was great, great, great.
It was definitely a really good cinema experience up until the end, where I thought this is just really silly.
Ugh. Yeah, it was out there. I don't know why. I guess I went with it because it was such an introverted movie. And but then, you know, looking at what happened then it got the scope got a little bit bigger, I guess, for me.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
I think when I first saw it, I was like, oh, but then I saw it again, like, oh, that's pretty, that's nice. I don't know. I
obviously,
do
like,
like.
it actually makes sense watching the movie, but it just
Right.
is silly. And, you know, when I watch it, I just stop it right before the twist ending thing happens, because it's still a good movie.
Right.
And of course, that movie had, now I forgot the kid's name, I gotta look her up.
I'll remember. The girl or the boy?
Abigail Breslin from Little Miss Sunshine.
Abigail Breslin.
She
You know
was
what?
so
A
cute in
funny
that
thing. M.
movie.
Night is really good with picking child actors, it seems.
Well, you know, children can be annoying in movies,
Right.
but it was I just said her name, Abigail Breslin and Rory Culkin, and they were both really
Yes.
good in the movie. They weren't annoying at all.
Exactly. They were great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
As was obviously Haley Joel Osment, but
Yeah, he
even
was good in The Sixth Sense.
right, but even Bruce Willis's son in Unbreakable,
Yeah.
Joseph, no, his name was Joseph. I can't remember the name of the kid that
I'm
played.
pretty sure that actor was in, I'm gonna look him
But
up, because I think he was in something I saw not too long
Last House on the
ago.
Left.
Last House on the Left, that's the one. So I
Yep.
remember thinking, I was watching Last House on the Left, and I'm going, I know this kid. And then I'm like, oh, dude, he was in like Unbreakable and Gladiator.
Hell yeah, he's got that little look about. I think his first name is Spencer for some reason. I could be wrong,
Yeah,
but
it is Spencer.
okay.
Yeah.
I gotta remember
So,
these things.
yeah.
Yeah, but that it was great. But yeah, all the kids,
Yeah.
definitely in the first three, the children actors, the child actors, fantastic.
Yeah,
And that's,
definitely.
I know that's not easy.
No. I mean, like, on the last podcast, I think we were talking about War of the Worlds, and I said that Dakota Fanning is, like, so freaking annoying in that movie.
I hate that movie. Yes, and
I hate that
I hate
movie
her.
too, but she's so annoying, and at least, you know, just comparing, you know, that role to,
Right.
like, these roles, they're not annoying.
That's Spielberg directing a kid. I mean, and
Yeah.
some people thought M. Night was the next Spielberg at that time.
Yeah, he was the thing, the it thing, but then came The Village, which I really don't like.
That movie, I could kill the marketers for that movie for saying this is a monster
It's
movie.
so not it just I thought it was so stupid. Like
It
the
was.
thing with the ending, I didn't think it was that dumb
Yeah, I
altogether.
thought that was very interesting,
Like,
actually.
you know, you could see how, you know, people might want to actually do this, but then the whole thing with the whatever they were, the monster
Monsters in the back.
thingies and all this other stuff, I'm just like, yeah, this is really stupid.
That was really stupid. They should have just. Why can't you just make it the real monsters for once? You could still have the other twist. Just as
Yeah.
soon as, like, I still joke with the missus. I try to do my best William Hurt impression whenever something's weird. I just say, "This is farce. It is farce. I think it is farce."
This movie just was not that good.
No, it was not.
I mean, I think one of the only things I liked about it, I think, was Bryce Dallas Howard, who was actually pretty good in it.
I really thought she was fantastic in it.
But everyone else, I think, just wasn't very good.
I like Adrien Brody playing the slightly, I guess, mentally challenged guy. I forget.
Yeah, he was okay.
He's a great actor to begin with.
Yeah, I generally like him in stuff that he's in.
Yeah. You know what? If people ask me about The Village, knowing that, you know, I still am, I guess, a fan of M. Night, not so much, but I like his first three movies. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
You asked me about those, I say it's my favorite love story ever, because that's really what that movie is. It's about a love story with, you know, Joaquin Phoenix's character and Bryce Dallas's character. Mm. That's what it is, with some
with all this other weird shit in it.
yes, exactly.
See, he sort of like has a pattern with these movies. You know, he's got Bruce Willis for the first two,
mm-hmm.
right? And then with Signs in the Village, he's got Joaquin Phoenix. And then with The Village and Lady in the Water, he's got Bryce Dallas Howard. Now, I didn't really watch Lady in the Water.
Don't.
Something I could not get into, and it's like, this seems so stupid. I don't want to watch it.
My heart broke after that one. I'm like, holy shit, he really is on the decline.
Yeah, I mean, I know that people movie. That like it, but I just don't see
it. Yeah. You know what? The Misses like that movie, actually. But, my heart broke after. I still remember walking out after that one. Again, I was kind of excited to see it, but...
I mean, it had a really good trailer, but then the movie just was like...
That's what happens, and that's the thing. That's what worries me about Devil. I like the trailer, but then maybe it's just these fucking marketing people, you know, pulling a Village on us again.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I don't think so, though. The people, I don't know if they're brothers or not, but the two dudes that directed the Quarantine movie, which was a remake of that whatever, Spanish movie.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool, pretty freaky, even though it was... you know, a remake. I thought they did a good job with that. So
I didn't see it because I really liked Wreck, and I'm just thinking, why do I need to see it again?
You don't need to see it again,
you know,
sure.
Probably an inferior version.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I didn't see Wreck, even though I think I should.
You really should.
I will.
Wreck is highly recommended.
Ah, you would recommend it?
I would recommend Wreck. Right.
Yes.
Even get Wreck and Wreck 2 and just watch them back to back, because they basically take place straight away.
That's cool.
Like second one just takes place right after the first one. So
really, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a proper like sequel. So there you go.
I love that. I love it when you can do that with a horror flick.
Yeah.
A la the original Halloween and Halloween 2.
Yeah, kind of like that, but different.
That's cool.
Because it's all done in, I think it's all done mostly in real time as well.
Again,
or at least like whenever the camera stops, then we go back to the next thing. But it's all happens in the span of a couple of hours, sort of thing.
That's cool. That's hard to do. I give props to the filmmakers that attempt stuff like that.
Yeah. But going back off topic, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm going to mention a movie which I haven't watched yet, and I know that I should because... I've just heard how bad it is.
Oh boy, here we go.
Which is The Happening.
Okay,
Which was another movie that had a pretty awesome trailer, and I was really excited to see it until I heard how bad it was, and then I was like, no.
Yes. maybe I can hypnotize your mind in the right frame so that you wind up actually enjoying it.
Well, I guess the way Amon talks about it,
yes, and it does like it.
He loves it a lot, and I did say I was going to watch it, like, when I was back on that podcast a long time ago, but I never got around to it.
Okay. You'll get around to it.
I'll get around to it. I've got way too many movies to watch anyway.
All good.
My pile really sitting at, like, you know, 200 movies I still have to watch or something ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but, I mean, from what I gather, it can be so bad it's good.
It can be so bad it's good if you want to take into consideration, you know, I don't want to say the possibility of what The Happening is, but The Happening really happening. It's kind of, it could be a cool concept if it wasn't tied to such a wimpy-ish type of threat. But it kind of makes sense in a weird way. I kind of give M. Night props for going out on this one, because it's, again, it's a cool idea, and he did develop this cool idea into an all right concept, and there's some pretty kick-ass violence in it, so he did go all out with the violence factor, and that definitely pays off. I mean, if you want to see some really disturbing stuff, or, you know, skin-crawling types of gore going on, it's there. It's definitely there, and I gotta say, Marky Mark is the freaking... as a teacher in it, I don't know, man. He's a pretty cool actor, but he was pretty
shitty. Just doesn't suit that role or that job in a movie.
Every time he opened his mouth and spoke, it sounded weird. I don't know. M. Night wasn't really on with his actors, it looks like, in this one. I'm trying to think if anyone was good. I mean, I like Zooey Deschanel. I think she's a cutie. I think she's really talented. But again, it was like, it was a little stiff the way they were conversing back and forth. Not the best dialogue, but still a fairly interesting concept. It's still watchable. I say it is still watchable.
Yeah, well, I'll have to track it down and eventually just see it. Yeah, and...
you know, 15 years from now when there's like, hey, look, it's the new laser DVR blue disc of The Happening. Hey, it just came out. 20-year anniversary. Check it out then.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll get like a cult following like Showgirls for being so bad it's good.
I can see that happen. Oh, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, you know, I do like bad movies, like bad movies that I can enjoy, so maybe I'll get something out of it.
Maybe, I think you might be with it. You might be on board.
It could be the greatest comedy ever.
Exactly. You look at a comedy, if you want to do some kind of drinking game around it, this could be a fun time. But again, with the whole problem with M. Night, he'd be like, no. That's not what I'm going for.
That's not what it is.
This is from my mind. I wish he... I mean, it's fair for him to be, you know, attached to his work. But I guess people kissed his ass too much after Sixth Sense. And maybe it didn't do so great for his ego or his mind. Or his mind in general.
Yeah, I think so. I guess this would lead us to his latest movie.
Oh, God.
Which has had some of the worst reviews I've ever seen. It actually made a bit of money.
It made over $100 million, which he hasn't done since, I guess, The Village.
Yeah, and this only just came out, I think, here last week.
Oh, really?
And it's been getting bad reviews. I don't know how it's done at the box office. As you mentioned it, I think I spoke over you when you mentioned it, which is The Last Airbender, which is based on the cartoon series, which I've never watched.
Very cool cartoon.
I've never really watched it. I've only seen, like, the odd episode, which seemed pretty cool. And again, another example of a really cool trailer.
Yes, indeed. I really thought this... I'm like, oh, this is going to bring M. Night back. How can you fuck it up, though?
I have no idea.
All this cool stuff that they do. I mean, my son got me into the cartoon because he was watching it. It's really fun, very cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you fuck this up?
Yeah, and... I've heard, like, the main kid is really bad.
Really? That's just a damn shame, man. Again, this is the guy who was awesome at, you know, directing kids in movies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can watch it. I've known some people who said, you know, it's okay, it's not that bad. So, I don't know, maybe...
Awesome, though. You should have kicked ass with this, M. Night.
Yeah, people should have liked it, but no, he obviously did something wrong.
I'm still going to watch it because there'll be something to watch with the little guy, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe at his age,
I'm sure he'll enjoy it.
He'll enjoy it.
Yeah, please. I mean, he watches fucking Yo Gabba Gabba, so what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, I struggle to watch Yo Gabba Gabba. My niece, I mean, she's only now 7 months old, and she's completely hypnotized by Yo Gabba Gabba.
Wow, that DJ Lance, man. He's one smooth motherfucker.
that's for sure. So, yeah, I guess we'll find out soon enough how the movie Devil is. And if maybe, maybe M. Night should just stick to story concepts. I think in our last segment of the podcast,
is this the surprise?
This is the surprise that I thought of, like, just before we started recording. I was thinking about horror-related stuff, seeing as, you know, we're two horror people.
Indeed.
And I was thinking, this is something I think about sometimes when I'm watching a horror movie. A few things. Like, you know, one example is, if I was in a horror movie, would I want to be one of the victims that has a really cool death, or would I want to be the person killing everybody? So I ask you that question. If you're in a horror movie, What would you want to be?
Awesome, awesome question. Holy shit.
One to think about.
This is one to think about, but I mean, you know, it's the podcast. Time is of the essence. I got to give you an answer.
Well, now, while you think about it, I could answer the question with what I would want to do.
Would you like to answer it first then?
Well, yeah, then you can think about your answer.
Yeah, go. But I want to hear your answer.
Well, me being me, and I'm pretty much sicko, I think it would be more fun to play the killer. But I want to be somebody like an inventive killer, not a boring killer, have some kind of really cool weapon or something and, you know, just off people in the worst possible way.
That's awesome.
I'd be the evil, sick lady killer. And the bloodier the better. You know, sometimes you just need a bloodbath in a horror movie. And I just think it would be so much fun.
I agree with you.
You know, as cool as it would be to get killed off in a really cool way, I just think being the person doing the killing and then having, like, some really cool death at the end would just be awesome.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to get away if you went for a sequel, right?
Well, if there was a sequel, I'd probably come back in some fashion like Jason or something.
I gotcha.
If I was in a horror movie, that's totally the way I'd go. But if I was going to be a victim in a movie, the way I'd want to go out would be from, you know, Hostel 2.
I know that movie.
The death of Heather Matarazzo.
Oh my god, Marsh, are you serious?
If I had to have a death in a horror movie, it would be that one.
Wow, Marsh. Hard freaking core. That is one of the most out there and just excruciating. And
that's probably like one of my favorite, like, you know, horror movie kills.
That is an outstanding kill.
And the chick that does it just gets covered in her blood. It's just so gruesome and nasty.
Now, can I ask you this? Who's the naked chick below offing you, or is it a dude?
Well, sticking with, like, you know, Hostel 2 was all about the girls. I'd go for someone really hot, like Amber Heard. She could totally kill me in a movie.
Yeah, I would accept that, definitely. What a way to go.
She's like my major girl crush at the moment.
I can see that. She is. I mean, the missus might listen to this podcast, so it's not... I don't want to get ready to hit her. Yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
She's a fantasy lady.
I guess she is one of those, yes.
I guess... Sure. My crush on her really came from All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, which is something we actually got here like 2 years ago.
So damn jealous you got to see that friggin' movie.
It's amazing. I love that movie.
It's been over 2 years now. I've been, you know, dying to see that. Yeah. And I don't get why they can't just fucking release it one way or another here. What's the deal, man? Idiots.
Yeah, completely. But anyway, that was my cool answer to my question.
That was awesome. Great, if we can call.
Yeah,
and it definitely swayed my opinion too. So I'm glad you went first.
So, you ready? You can answer it now.
I did. I would want to be the killer because, duh. And not only are you there the whole flick, but you get to let out any kind of pent up. Pissed off aggression you've got, and if you ask the missus, I do have a bit of that. I may come off maybe as a nice guy, but it's just because I let it out in other ways, like if I'm writing a book.
You let it all out in a book with a gruesome kill or something.
As opposed to killing actual people, I don't want to do that. But if it was a horror movie, yes, definitely. Because I have a Myers mask that I wear on Halloween, and it's just nothing better than walking around going up to people and just... You know, turning your head a little to the side. They don't know who you are. They're shaking their pants. It is outstanding. So without question, the killer. I would love to be the killer. And I would make them think I was dead at the end and then just get up and walk away. I guess just like Myers.
Yeah, just like the end of Halloween.
Although,
if you were the killer, what sort of a costume would you have? Would you have a costume? Would you have a mask?
I love masks. I love horror. Slashers, again, my favorite. So there would have to be some kind of mask. I couldn't tell you what right now because, you know, so many have been done anyway. But it'd have to be something. It wouldn't be human skin, I'll tell you that. It wouldn't be a hockey mask, and it wouldn't be William Shatner, you know. It wouldn't be a William Shatner mask. It would have to be something kind of subtle, though, nonetheless. Like, I guess, like mine.
I like
the subtlety, because it makes it creepier.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking of maybe being like a ninja, but like an evil slasher ninja.
Cool idea. Snake Eye or something.
The ninja slasher killer.
I that's the first thing I thought of.
The ninja slasher killer.
That's a great idea.
I don't know. I kind of have a thing for ninjas. And I don't know, that costume would like, you know, you could get around and no one would see you because you're a ninja.
Yeah.
So definitely. It'd be like quite effective.
You could slash anything because, you know, they got the freaking katana blades going.
Yeah.
You would make it a bloody mess.
Exactly.
In a good way.
Yeah. Can do all the cool ninja stuff and have all the cool ninja weapons.
That get the Chinese stars and stuff. That's a great sure concept. You might have to do something about that.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Yeah. Nobody steal it.
Nope, please, nobody steal it. This is Marcy's story to run with.
Yep.
I like it, though. It has never been done.
Yeah. So, what about, like, if you had, if you were the victim in the movie, how would you want to go out?
I hate being so unoriginal, but, yeah, I think a stabbing, just, again, because I just love Myers so much, but it would be a stabbing and it would be a tragic stabbing because I would probably do something to save someone else that would wind up fucking me over. And then I wouldn't just die right away. I'd picture myself crawling on the ground bleeding and, you know, the audience feeling, you know, sorry for me, but still, you know, triumphant for me because I wound up helping someone. So I tried.
Go for the sad. Heroic death.
Yeah.
Whereas I just want to have, like, the really bloody death.
Yeah. Different opinions. I think they're both nice.
I don't know.
Both nice ways.
Quite gruesome, I think, I can be.
That's also awesome.
Okay. Here's another question.
Let's hear it.
All right. Seeing as vampires and werewolves are, like, the major it thing at the moment.
Yes.
All right. What would you rather be? A vampire or a werewolf?
I have pondered this question a lot, and it is a very good question. And the only reason I'm going to say, the main reason, excuse me, is I'm going to say werewolf.
Ooh.
Is the daytime. I still want to hang in the daytime still.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason.
It's a tough
thing. You know, you only go crazy like once a month, so.
Yeah, and this isn't like stupid, horrible Twilight crap where they walk around and sparkle like little fairies. You know, vampires can't be out during the daytime. So let's get that, you know, there, get it out of the way. Can't be out because it's just going to flames. And I'd be worried about that. I saw that movie Daybreakers and that's what made me ponder it. But it was a pretty interesting flick.
But I really like it.
I'm sorry.
I said I really like Daybreakers a lot.
Oh, good. Me too. Yeah, it was interesting. But did that make you ponder, hey, what if I really I had to be a vampire in society. Main thing.
Oh, it wasn't really so much that movie. It's just, it's, you know, ever since I got into horror, there's always been vampire movies and werewolf movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, you know, different ones, obviously, because there are some really shit ones out there.
Yes.
But one thing I'd wondered, what would I rather be? I mean, a werewolf, you know, you only go crazy once a month. And pretty much when you're a chick, that happens anyway. So, the only difference is you don't physically transform into a beast. You just act like one.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Yes.
But, you know, that time, you know, for that, you know, the full moon, you turn into the beast and you can go crazy and then, you know, have no recollection of what you just did, which can be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, like an American Werewolf in London style.
Classic.
Which is, like, my favorite werewolf movie ever.
It probably is the best, I think.
But, you know, being a vampire as well, you can live a very long time as long as you don't get
staked. I like that, but yeah, adhere to those rules.
You know, you wouldn't get the daylight, but Sometimes I can live a very vampiric lifestyle and I am up during the night anyway.
There you go.
But I think the one thing that would piss me off is, constantly having to find blood to
That is
drink.
another
That
major
would
issue, you're
be
right.
really annoying. However, if, movies and TV have taught me anything, at least with vampires, there would be some pretty good looking ones. So
Right,
you'd have a
the
good
sexual
crowd to
thing.
hang out with.
Yeah,
But,
I hear you. I hear that. I hear that. They are quite lovers.
although I think I'd probably go werewolf just because I think it'd be easier.
Me too. That's my main reason right
Yeah.
there.
I think being a vampire would be too much work, as cool as it would be.
Yep,
Because,
it'd be a
I'd
while.
totally want to be a cool vampire, like Severin in Near Dark,
Oh
and just
yeah.
be a bastard.
Absolutely. I like it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good concept.
All right.
I like
One
your concept.
last question now.
Okay, I'm ready. This is fun.
I could keep going because I could think of a lot, but this is one that I was thinking about recently because somebody had mentioned these kinds of movies. And I was thinking about zombie movies, which, when they're done well, they can be really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, if I was in a zombie movie, would I ever at all want to be the zombie, or would I just want to be the person who just, tries to get away from him and,
Yep.
kills the zombies?
Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Me too.
Cool.
Do it like that, or would I want to be a zombie and just be a mindless thing going around looking to just eat people?
Eat people, and then eventually, I guess, become the majority.
Yeah. Because being a zombie wouldn't be too bad.
It wouldn't be too bad, but you probably wouldn't even really get the fun you're having because they're so mindless.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that you need to do is eat, and that's where, like, the annoying thing with the vampires comes in.
Right.
What if you can't
Right.
find anything to eat?
Exactly. You die.
Exactly. Well,
That's tough.
I think it would be really cool to fight zombies.
Yeah, I'm with
Pretty
you.
much in the way, as you mentioned, Tallahassee from
Absolutely,
Zombieland. That would be so
absolutely.
much fun.
I'm with you. That would be my answer as well. Yes,
I
it's
think.
almost a no, again, it's almost a no-brainer. No pun intended. But yeah, I would want to be the zombie fighter for sure. It's just, I think that's something I succeed at.
Yeah. I'd rather be in a movie like that rather than, say, Dawn of the Dead.
Which
'Cause,
one?
like, the original Dawn of the Dead.
Gotcha. Me too.
There's, I don't know, it just seemed far too bleak, and at least Zombieland kind of had a bit more, I don't know, it's a bit more uplifting, maybe.
It was fun. You got to meet Bill Murray. Come on.
Exactly. You can meet,
I
like,
love.
celebrities and then turn them into zombies.
Exactly. Or just kill them because you think they're a zombie, even though.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. That is one. Fun is like the ultimate way to describe that movie. It's so simple, but so perfect.
Well, Zombieland had some good rules about getting rid of the zombies.
Absolutely.
So
That helps. The cardio
that
one, I totally get.
it does help a lot, which would be good. I don't know why. I just think it would be fun to go around killing zombies as long as I didn't turn into a zombie.
Exactly. Well,
But,
you'd be good at it. I seriously doubt.
if they were cool zombies, then maybe it'd be all
Yeah.
right to be the zombie.
Can I ask you a question, Mars?
You may.
What if the zombie coming after you was Amber Heard?
Yeah, I'd
Like in
let her turn me
Aquaman.
into a zombie.
I think you kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what a way to go.
I know in the movie he didn't want to become a zombie from her, but
Right, right.
I'd probably be too weak and just be like, yeah, me and her can be zombie
Amber, okay.
girlfriends.
Do zombies have sex?
Can be zombie girlfriends.
I think that's amazing. And again, you just came up with another great movie concept. Zombie girl?
Zombie girlfriends. I don't know.
That's how you should pronounce it,
I
yes.
think it'd be pretty cool, like,
You can fix in the hood.
yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool to look like a zombie, like, just be put into the zombie makeup.
That would be very
That'd
fun.
be, like, so much fun to just walk around for a day in zombie makeup and scaring people.
Oh, you know what? Do you have Halloween in Australia?
Really celebrate it, no.
Come on, that's not fair to you guys.
Not really, because it'd be so much fun, but no.
You just gotta come over here. The at the end of next month.
Well, see, the thing is, like, my birthday is 2 days before Halloween.
Sweet.
So it's, like, really cool, but then nobody celebrates it. So then I was like, oh. But, you know, maybe I'll just spontaneously dress up like a zombie on Halloween and just go scare people.
Some people will get it, yeah. It is fun, man. What other time of year could you walk your dog down the street with a Michael Myers mask on and just stare at cars as they pass by? Which I've done. It's the best feeling in the world. It is like you're, you know, like you said, you're in a horror movie.
Yeah. I mean, well, the only costume that I've got is Mr. Ghostface from Scream.
Oh, classic never dies.
Well, I did get that at the time when Scream was like the big thing in horror.
Well, it's good. So. It might be big again. Who knows? Next April. Be.
There is another movie. I mean, it comes out April for you. It might be longer for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have to wait and see.
Come over to the States. Bring a copy of All the Boys Love Mandy Lane also.
Yeah. Yeah, see, please. Somehow we managed to get that, but strange how things work.
Shouldn't I just buy it then on Amazon from Australia, or will that transaction not flow?
I don't know. You could probably get it from an Australian online DVD store, but your DVD player would have to play
the
Australian region, and it would be PAL, not NTSC. But see, I'm lucky. I can watch anything I want, so I can import DVDs.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, well, before we end the show, was there any other weird horror-related questions that you wanted to ask? Weird questions.
Yours were perfect. It's your show. You've got the awesome questions. I'm just happy to be a part of them.
Did you have any, well, did you think of anything else?
No, I didn't. I was too nervous about coming on the podcast.
Okay, I'll end with one last one.
Yes.
Okay. Out of like the main like horror icons from, you know, the franchises, which one would you want to be? So obviously I'd be talking like Jason or Michael. I'm thinking,
like, what's my obvious one? Like someone's listening, like, oh, I wonder what he's gonna say.
Well, you know, you could go against type and say something completely unexpected.
I might have to because... Okay, well, I'm going to think aloud, like I'm on that Millionaire show. I don't want to say Freddy because he's a fucking child molester and that's just horrible.
That's just ew.
I don't want to say Jason because he's this deformed yokel and there's no way he can come back that many times. And he never played hockey.
Yeah, he just, like, got a mask.
Right. I don't want to say Leatherface because, again,
he wears human skin.
The human skin thing I'm not down with. I mean, I'm down watching it. That's cool. But for me, no. I don't want to be a little dorky doll without a dick. So I don't want to be Chucky. Jigsaw's dying of cancer. Jigsaw's dead already. I don't want to be him. I like going. I'm trying to go. If you. What else is there? I don't want to be the Creeper because he seems to like boys. A little too much.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
I don't like that. I don't want to eat Justin Long's eyes.
Ew. Yuck. You had to remind me of that disgusting event, didn't you?
Sorry. My bad. No, you know, I can't. Why am I bothering wasting time thinking when it is Michael Myers? It's just...
You have to be Michael Myers.
Do I need to even back it up again? I love that he's silent. I love that...
But which one would you be? Old or new version?
Old. Definitely old.
Old version?
I would be the old version for sure, because that's just more in tune with me. I never had long hair in my life. I'm not 6 foot
You didn't look
five.
Like a hobo. Mm-hmm, hobo exactly. Myers from part two.
No. I'm not. I don't look like a hobo in any way. Thankfully, I guess. The classic thing is just this, that one... It's just the mechanic jumpsuit, plain white mask, a breathing, silent head turns, and the knife. That's it. It's so simple and so pure. That's the way I would want to roll.
Yeah, well, that is pretty obvious.
But what's your answer, Mars? What I really want to know. Come on.
Yeah. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to go with being... Tiffany which is Chucky's
Traumatic Chucky?
girlfriend. Yeah.
Awesome.
See,
Awesome.
I'd be a chick doll that kills people because who is going to suspect a doll that is doing the killing?
You're right. That was
See?
the main focus of the first one,
That's
too.
it. It's pure evil and it's pure genius.
Agreed.
See, I wouldn't want to be like Freddy because they said he's like a child molesting killer. And he also,
Yeah, yuck.
got burned
Right.
and stuff. I mean, killing people in their dreams is pretty cool and all, but I wouldn't
Oh,
want to
hell
be
yeah.
him specifically. And
Right.
Jason is, deformed and I don't know, just his
Dude can't
character
even
just went
swim.
all over the place.
Yeah, got mama issues.
Yeah, exactly.
No
And
thanks.
well, Chucky is a boy.
Well said. Well
So
said. I'm
that's why I
glad you
picked
picked girlfriend.
Tiffany because she's a girl.
Perfect.
But
How many slashers are there, really?
yeah, I mean, I was thinking about like the Hellraiser creatures, but they're just too freaking scary, and I wouldn't want to be one of them.
A lot of weird piercings on some of those guys.
I
Especially
mean,
Pinhead.
like every time I see just like a statue or something of Pinhead, it freaks me out. I hate it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to be one of those, and I don't think I'd want to be the chick from the Saw movies.
From what movies?
Saw, like
Oh, Amanda.
yeah, that's the one.
Right,
As sick
right.
as that is, I just would rather be something a lot more unsuspecting.
I
And
love
I
that
think that's
reasoning.
really evil. Exactly.
I agree. And still fun, though. She was fun. She was funny. She accessorized.
Exactly. That
Good
would be
call, though.
my really strange pick for
I think that's
that
friggin' awesome.
one.
You just so cool. And you know what, Mars? Again, with like how many slashers are female, possibly maybe in the book there's something going on along those lines. I don't want to. I hate that. It sounds like I'm just plugging the book again, but we're on topic here, so I
Yeah.
figured it would be. That's another thing that always, not really baffled me, but you want to make a slasher, you want to create a slasher, you want it to be original. To be original, start off by making them female. Because again,
Yeah.
I think that Brandy talked about this in Scream 2 or something, and one of the killers did wind up being a female. So I thought that was a pretty interesting observation.
Yeah. But,
Then again, Jason
usually,
Voorhees also.
yeah, but, slasher films, the, what do you call it? The protagonist is usually a female anyway.
Correct.
So the antagonist is usually a male.
Exactly.
That's
That's the
how it
thing.
works.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, see, why can't the chick be the evil killer?
Yeah,
I
it
know
could
I
even
could pull it
well.
off.
What, say it again?
I said I could pull it off. I look evil enough and crazy
No,
enough.
you're a sweet woman. But I guess, you've seen enough horror, you would be able to, contort your face and your mannerisms some way to get across that evil
Yeah, see, I might look sweet, but I'm not.
vibe. Isn't that the best? It's always the quiet, sweet ones.
Yeah, it's always the unsuspecting one, which would
That's the
be
way to go.
me.
The doll. It's the doll.
See, that's why I picked the doll, exactly.
Smart. You're smart.
There is a method to my madness.
Very awesome.
Well, anyway, I think we'll wrap up the podcast. And as I usually do when I wrap up the podcast, I thank you for joining me on the show and letting me interview you at the beginning about your book.
Thank you.
I
It was
hope
on.
it was good.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So, again, listeners, check out the links to the book. And if it tickles your fancy, please check it out. And with that, I'll say that I have been awesome. And Mike has been pretty awesome too. I don't know what sort of a goodbye to do, so I'll just go with my really corny, I'll be back.